thank you for joining every day morning sadhana. This is so exciting because it will give us the ultimate result.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga of Ganesh Krishna Prabhupada. So to see the Lord's presence in every word, sentences, verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, we pray to Lord Vasudev, who is the predominating deity of consciousness, to bless us so that we can have that perception. So please fold your hand and repeat after me 3 times. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shankleśa samam vidatte aśeṣa saṅkleśa samam vidatte gunānuvād savanam murāre gunānuvād savanam murāre Charanaravinda Kimba Punastat Charanaravinda Paraga Seva Rati Atma Labdha Paraga Seva Rati Atma Labdha Asesa Sanklesa Samam Vidatte Gunanuvada Savanam Murare Himba Punastat Charanaravinda
sanklesha samam vidate.
Gunanuvada
sravanam murare. Imba punastat charanaravindam.
Imba punastat charanaravindam.
Paraga seva ratiratma labdha.
Thank you.
Ashesha.
Ashesha.
Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Samklesa.
Samklesa.
Miserable condition.
Miserable condition.
Samam.
Samam.
Cessation.
Sorry.
Cessation.
Cessation.
Bidhakte.
Bidhakte.
Can perform. Guna Anuvada. Of the transcendental name, form, qualities, pastime, antara, and paraphernalia, etc.
Of the transcendental name, form, qualities, pastime, antara, etc.
Shravanam.
Shravanam.
Hearing and chanting.
Hearing and chanting.
Murari.
Murari.
O Murari, Sri Krishna, the personality of God. The personality of God.
King
Ba.
What
to speak of?
Punaha.
Again.
Tat.
His.
Charana.
Aravinda.
Lotus feet.
Paraga Seva.
Paraga Seva.
To the service of the flavorful. To the service of the flavorful. Flavorful dust.
Sorry.
Ratihi,
attraction,
Atma Labdha, those who have gained such self-achievement. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Simply by chanting and hearing of the transcendental name, form, etc. of the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one can achieve the cessation of unlimited miserable condition. Therefore, what to speak of those who have attained attraction for serving the flavor of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet? But two different methods for controlling the material senses are recommended in the Vedic scriptural wisdom. One of them is the process of jnana or the path of philosophical understanding of the Supreme, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. The other is that of direct engagement in the transcendental loving devotional service of the Lord. Of those two most popular methods, the path of devotional service is recommended here as the best because one of the path of devotional service does not have to wait for the attainment of the fruitive result of pious activity or for the result of knowledge. The two stages of executing devotional service are, first, the stage of practicing devotional service with our present senses under the regulation of the recognized scriptures, and second, attaining sincere attachment for serving the particles of the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. The first stage is called sadhana bhakti or devotional service for the new fight, which is rendered under the direction of a pure devotee. And the second stage is called Raga Bhakti, in which the mature devotee automatically takes to the various service of the Lord out of sincere attachment. The great sage Maitreya now gives the final answer to all the questions of Vidura. Devotional service to the Lord is the ultimate means to mitigate all the miserable condition of material existence. The path of knowledge or that of mystic gymnastics may be adopted as a means for the purpose, but unless mixed with bhakti or devotional service, they are unable to avoid the desired result. By practicing sadhana bhakti, one may gradually rise to the point of raga bhakti. And by performing Raga Bhakti in loving transcendental service, one can even control the Supreme Powerful Lord. Looks like entire nectar devotion given in one purport. Om Jyamati Randasya Dhenam Janasalakaya Chakshur Nivitam Dhenam Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Tadayam Dadati Svaharadikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Vaishnavasya Sri Rupam Sadrajatam Sahagana Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakha Nitanusya Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinam Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunavadi Paschasade Sutari Vancha Kalpa Puru Vesha Kripa Sindhu Vahir Vacha Paditanam Pavimyo Vaishnavyo Vandaram Namo Mahavadannaya Krishna Prema Vakaraya Krishna Yashmi Kilakam Lalata Patale Bakshastale Kaustavam Nasagre Varamatikam Karatale Kare Venukam Kanam Sarvange Harichandanam Kante Cha Muktavali Gopasri Parivestita Gopala Churaman Bhajami Radham Aravinda Netram Smarami Radham Madhusmitarsham Vadami Radha Karuna Varagram Tato Manasti Gopina Gopi Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadha Sivasa Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
itself, I feel very complete. No need any other literature or anything. Just this one purport, if I can grasp it, life is successful. The way Srila Prabhupada writes those purport, I wish I would hear what he's thinking while he's sick. It's so nice. So first of all, in nectar devotion we find there is a five result when we perform bhakti. I'm sure you all are familiar. If not, please get into it. Because in the morning walk, Prabhupada says, this is one book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Without this, no one can understand what Krishna consciousness is. That's a heavy statement for me. I love nectar devotion. I do. So five results, and in this purport Prabhupada in the beginning writes that jnanis and bhaktas and the difference. Of course, we know when that question comes, is there actual difference between Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, or is it just a matter of perception? It's a matter of perception. It is not that Brahman exists independently or individually, or Paramatma exists separately from Krishna. Not possible. They are all in one. But perceive according to their ability and the process they follow. It looks like there is difference. But in truth there is no difference. That's for the devotees. In the purport also Prabhupada mentioned the result of bhakti. So result of bhakti in Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami Pad gives first result of bhakti. What is it? Clash of Agni. Clash of Agni. Agni means fire. Clash of means five types of suffering. If I literally challenge anybody, what is suffering actually? What is suffering? If you really go deep down to this, we may say adi atmik, adi bhautik, adi doivik. Yes, those analogy is there and those slokas are backing. But boils down to my level of understanding. What I really need, what I really want, I don't get. And what I don't want, what I don't need, I get it. I'm being forced. Do anybody wants take birth or getting old, getting wrinkles, gray hair? Do you enjoy it? Is that what your life is purpose for? Is this what you want, the sickness? No, we don't want those. But these are imposed on us. Then you can sort it out. Okay, this is adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidevi. But in one sentence, it's like, what I really need and I want, I never get it. And what I don't want, I'm being forced to experience. So then all the acharyas headed by Srila Prabhupada gives the reason why this suffering is on us. Krishna bhuli seji bhagavan chakare patare mayatare japoti adhare. So when this word Prabhupada used, this verse is very interesting. He says, ashesha sanklesha. In a song, everybody knows that word. Sankirtan, samabhayava, all these words. Sam means complete. Klesha means suffering. Five types of suffering are there. Right now in our life, right at this moment, we have four things together makes who we are or who am I. First is we are carrying the psychophysical nature from since time immemorial. 3.35 Prabhupada used that word, psychophysical nature, so I was tracing it. Jatra Nisharga Nirvaira. This is Nisharga, or this transforming to nature, Sabhav. You are born with it. Particular inclination you have. Even with the child, you see in the temple or you go to the parking or children park. Some children are like, I saw many years back, mother saying, come on baby, come out from the stroller. No. Wants to just sit down. Don't want to get up. Some children kicking the leg and getting ready to get out or just waiting for unbuckling. And I was thinking like, why is like so different? Because they are born with particular nature. You are helpless. Try to grasp it. This is called prarabdha karma. So I ask you a question. If I am a hunter, I take an arrow and I pull the string hard and release it. After the arrow is out of my hand, how much power I have to control the destiny of that arrow? Can someone help?
Zero.
Zero. Thank you. Good answer. That is called prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma means this body you have. It's predestined. Am I the maker of my destiny or life is predestined? Ask yourself. You have a predestiny. You are born with those psychophysical nature. But what you are not born with, how you will take that reaction as it unfolds. You're getting old, how do you take it? You can utilize it or get frustrated or in between go to doctor, put a, what they call, cosmetic, or, you know, remove the wrinkles or something. Anyway, people try. So, this prarabdha karma, this body, when we join in ISKCON, Krishna consciousness, now you may say, where are you coming up with this? I give you the verse in case if you go. Aprarabdha phalam papam kutam bijam phalam mukam kramena iva praliyate Vishnu bhakti ratatma. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave a commentary. Chaitanya Charitamrita also elaborated still. Prarabdha karma kabu nahi khai phala bhoga vina kabu brahmabhuta ji phala bhoga lagi janama marana labhu. When you are born with a particular nature in this body, you are bound to experience, period. Only one loophole for the devotee. So in spiritual seekers, we are also spiritual seekers, but we stop our seeking anymore because we found the ultimate substance and we want to go with it. We are not emitters. But still we should be always seeker mood, that why did I give up karmi life? Why did I give up non-ISKCON life? Why did I come here? I ask myself, like, what am I getting? Am I getting it? What is Prabhupada giving? Am I getting it? He came to give, he sacrificed his life. So it is good. This is what I feel and I do. When we join to the movement, first thing happens, we have four things. Prarabdha means you are born with, you are going to experience. You are born also with aprarabdha. Aprarabdha means it is not manifested with this body or mind. It is waiting like a hunter have all these arrows in the quiver. But the arrow that he releases, this is called this body. The all this arrow in the back, it's first thing you destroy. You pull out one by one, one by one. So when you join, you are relieved from the material pinching or punching, whatever the way you think, like some relief for 1 month, 2 months, 1 year, 2 years. Then you feel like nothing must change for years now. When I joined, I felt good. Yeah, because you detached from the karmic life to this. But then when the operation really started, then you feel like nothing happening, what's going on? Okay, keep on trying. Okay, you know what, after death I think everything will happen, right? Okay, but everything matters to me is right now, right here. Not after I take sannyas, not after 10 years. What about now? What matters the most? I think like this. This is what right now. Do I have devotional attitude? You know, I asked that question. Yesterday, 24 hours, how many times I thought I am a servant of the servant of Krishna? Literally. We all know that. But how much actually I acted on it? First of all, I thought about it. And how much I acted? How long? 5 minutes? Half an hour? 1 hour? Bhaktivinoda Thakur write a beautiful song, everybody likes to sing that. Jeevi Krishna Das, Eita Vishas, Korle Tovar Dukkhanai. If you just believe you are servant of Krishna, all your misery gone. Okay, say it, I am servant of Krishna. Is misery gone? No, I still have to take care of my car. So, how to practically see that is required. That is required. Future, I don't know. Past is gone. Future, I'm hoping. Potential. Okay. But at present, can I act as a servant? of servant of Krishna. Can I? Yes. Why not I act? That is required. Bhagavan Krishna Chanda told Arjuna, Vedesya sarve, what's the first verse? Trajunda Vishaya Veda Vistrajunda Bhavarjuna. Tedanda Yogoshema Atmaban. The last word is Atmaban. So I was thinking, are we soul, Atma or Atmaban? Why Krishna is stretching Atmaban? So I found Baladev Vidyavasan says, Atmaban means knowing I am a spirit soul, I am a unit of consciousness, is not going to affect your life much. If you want to see tangible effect, you have to act as a servant. That's why Krishna used the word Atmaban. Arjuna, you have to act not as a soul only, as a soul servant of Krishna, servant of God, and you act. That why it is required. Then you will see some result in your consciousness. You will uplift your consciousness, for sure. Because whole idea of bhakti is just an idea first, the consciousness. When consciousness changes, our intelligence captures it, and then automatically mind starts contemplating. You cannot stop at that time. Then body also follows that. Body may not follow in a long run because body has a timer. You know, after a certain time it will be finished. But your consciousness is going up. And you will reach Krishna. Done. Your sadhana is done. Prabhupada mentioned sadhana and sadhana here. So I'll go back to beginning part. Prabhupada says, the klesha, the verse says, ashesha sam klesha. All the suffering, if you can see in a 5 ways. One is avidya, asmita, raga, desha, avinivesh. Avidya is 5 layers of ignorance. We are born with it. Everybody is born with 5 layers of ignorance. Period. This is in 3rd canto, 20th chapter. So God elaborates verse after verse. The Brahmaji felt very depressed. I'm paraphrasing what Prabhupada says there. He says, after first thing was born in this world, 5 layers of ignorance. When Brahmaji felt depressed, Prabhupada was very kind. I'm sure Brahmaji is happy with Prabhupada's comment, part word. Because Prabhupada says, Brahmaji is depressed because he is a devotee. He thinks everybody is born with this 5 layers of ignorance, they are doomed, finished. It's horrible. Actually, it's horrible. So Brahmaji started meditating again, and then second part was 4 principles. Austerity, knowledge, application of knowledge, detachment, and austerity. Okay, Brahmaji felt a little better. But who is going to do it? So then the 4 Kumaras comes. And this is the 3rd verse of the 4 Kumaras. So we are born with this. If we do all the religion of the world, all the philosophy of the world, always has some purpose. Whether it's a pure or not pure, but there is some purpose. Everybody not aimlessly wandering. Majority religion, all the religion, except this Krishna consciousness, they all talk about first transformation. To get out from the material conditioning to the spiritual entrance. But nobody talks the second transformation, which is, I would say, exclusively, even today's purpose, Prabhupada writes twice. He says, the purpose of sadhana. He used that word, he can translate into English. He just put those, like sadhana and saddha, like those words we just read. So, first transformation, sometimes you will find some religion probably talks more details than us. Like Buddhism, Jainism, their purpose, cessation of existence, it's a horrible thing. It's against the eternity of the soul. But their process to come to that poem is interesting, very interesting. I was studying one time, it's very interesting. And we take a lot of things. Prabhupada did take, our acharyas, they take a lot of things. The second evolution comes, okay, we cannot deny our eternal existence. So to stop the suffering, five layer of ignorance, to diminish or eliminate death, we are eternally existing. Then let us come to a point where we can forget all the experience. How do you forget all the experience? If you just merge into that eternal existence. So that comes the next level. Then, evolution of consciousness, third level, where 700 AD, Vishnu Swami comes, and he says, he used the word, his philosophy headlines called Shuddha Advaita Bhava, pure monism. And then he gives these nine principles. And one good thing, they are first time introduced, that bhakti or devotional service is the only means to approach to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to get out of this material existence. So that's very well maintained. But then 86 years later, Shankaracharya comes and he took that from the Shuddha Advaita Bhava and he makes it his philosophy called Keval Advaita Bhava, pure monism. Pure monism, then he put only monism. Very interesting. And then he twisted everything according to needed. And then of course comes Dvaita Advaita Bhava, then Vishishta Advaita Bhava, Ramanujacharya's speciality. But until Madhvacharya came, nobody gave very clear idea of dualism. That's why Madhvacharya, he named his philosophy. You see in Google, if you put Madhvacharya, always comes a picture, two finger up. I didn't find any other picture, just only two finger up. Thousands of pictures, but always two finger up. And you wonder why Mahaprabhu accepted that teachings is his, or that disciplic succession is his. Disciplic succession is not an option, it is compulsory to get out of this material world. So there are five principles are given very elaborately. I'm just going to name it. There's an eternal difference between Krishna and you. There's an eternal difference between Krishna and the material world. There's an eternal difference between you and me. Jive jive bhed, jare jare bhed, jive jare bhed, jare ishara bhed, prakriti ishara bhed. These are the five bheda, eternal five eternal differences. And Madhvacharya said every disciple must remember this every day, that there is a five eternal difference. Then he gives a esoteric that Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita, with quoting Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur's Anubhashya, that until that Madhavendra Puri came, the second highest purpose or goal never revealed until Madhavendra Puri came. What does that mean? Until Madhavendra Puri came, your servant and Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master. And you have a relationship, but was not emphasized much. Your duty to serve him, that's it. When Madhavendra Puri came, the whole Guru Parampara changed. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, all the Mahajans are important, we follow Mahajans. But after Bhaktivinoda Thakur came, After Mahaprabhu came, all the Mahajans are more important than previous Mahajans. I was saying, wow, that's very important. And we see this. In other words, Prabhupada's teaching is more important than Narada Muni's teaching or Jamaraj's teaching. They are also Mahajan. But Prabhupada's teaching is more relevant to my life right now. And if you look at it, I was looking at Vedanta. There is a one person, new Bhakta came. I never said to them, but I can say it. He stayed with us for a few days. And then we had a nice discussion. There's a big difference between Prabhupada's purport and any outside purport. One difference we found, and he agreed, so he's thinking of coming back now, that when you read the translation of any sloka anywhere, it sounds good, but you don't know how it's relevant to you where you are. So after you finish the reading, the philosophy stays in the sky and you are on the ground and you don't know what that philosophy or Vedanta or Bhagavatam has anything to do with me. But what mysterious about Prabhupada's purport, that almost every purport I find, he connects it where we are and what the verse says, how we can reach and why it is important to us. And that kind of explanation I did not see. I did read, because with that devotee, I won't say the name because he wants to come back and spend time. And we, in our discussion, I said, this is what the most attractive. It's not the Bhagavatam or Veda. It is the Prabhupada's purport more. How it is relevant to me where I am today in my deplorable situation. How can I become a receptor to the highest goal that Mahaprabhu came to give us? That I haven't seen. Just like Manindra Nandi, he came to Gaur Krishnadar Babaji. Gaur Krishnadar Babaji is Mahabhagavat. We don't put down. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also Mahabhagavat. Both are Mahabhagavat. But when Manindra Nandi came, he said, Baba, I want to become a pure servant of Krishna. Please help me. So Manindra Nandi, he was a king, a small king, kingdom called Murshidabad in Bengal. He said, give up your kingdom and don't go back. Just stay here with me and chant. And forget about your family and everything, all the citizens. He could not do it. After 3 days he left. He went back. Now, Mahabhagavat, Gaur Krishnadar Babaji, there is nothing wrong. But how it is relevant to the person who needs help to connect from his anger to the ultimate goal. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, later on, he went to see him after decades. And he stayed in his palace. And he had a 7 days conversation. And after that, he adopted Vaishnavism. And he became a devotee. His wife became a devotee. And many citizens in his country became a devotee. So Bhakti Siddhanta Sudhakur also Mahabhagavat. Gaur Krishnadar Babaji also Mahabhagavat. But they have a different bar. How to become a devotee. They have a standard. For me it will be very difficult to follow Gaur Krishnadar Babaji. But Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur is very kind. He says, we pray to Gaur Krishnadar Babaji that we will not be able to develop a detachment like him, but we are praying that in our heart he gives the mercy that inside our heart all the material desire destroy and the detachment will come without executing externally that detachment. It's very hard otherwise. Most of the devotee, it's not possible to develop that kind of detachment. His mind was asking for, I'll give you an example, his mind was asking for a nice feast on some festival. So he took some neem leaves, you know neem leaves, bitter. proper translate in Bhagavatam, hellish, hellishly bitter. Bitter also has a hellishly bitter. So he was biting the neem leaf and he says, "How do you like the fish?" He's talking to himself. So that's like an extreme. You know, in a festival day, I like nice prasadam. I mean, I cannot just take bitter leaf and cheat like that. So we are very fortunate to be in ISKCON and develop this pure bhakti with the guidance of ISKCON sincere leaders and followers of Srila Prabhupada. We should take advantage more and more and try to distribute others. Then our life is success. Only practicing is not enough. We have to preach. Because there is a few verses I found. Mahaprabhu says, he gives you guarantee you will meet him when he leaves this world. There is a beautiful verse in 7th chapter, Madhulila. Kabuna badire tumai vishay taranga punarapi eithai pabe mor sanga. If you practice and preach, then you will meet me again at the moment of death. Guarantee. So nice. So I'll end here. If there is any further discussion. Yes, Mother.
Thank you so much for the nice class. I wanted to comment about in the beginning, well, you were speaking about Prabhupada's purports, and so we're reading the Lilamrita, and we just finished where he's in Hawaii, 1976, and he was there for some time. He finished the 7th canto, and then he starts the 8th canto. And he was saying, Prabhupada, that he actually could work very quickly, but what took time was he had to think of how to make the purports relevant to the common man.
Yes.
And that was, you know, that's what really was taking the most time, that he really had to think about it. And when there were, you know, different issues and stuff that he had to deal with, it distracted him, because that was a very serious thing for him. Mm-hmm. So that was nice that it just went along with what you were saying today.
You remember Philip used to be here from New York?
Oh, yes.
He's still in ISKCON, New York. I keep in touch. And I had to talk about it. He said, yeah, I went to other group also, but nobody has a purport that relevant to me, how to connect. It's so wonderful. And I'm begging all the devotees, those who listen online, inspire other devotees in our community to read Prabhupada's purport, or get together a group and read purport. It's nice. Thank you.
And then one other thing was, sorry, was just... a question, and in another conversation he was speaking about free will, and some devotees, this is related also, we're giving the example that now, like psychologists say, when a child has, you know, an adult has some problem, it's because of something that happened in their childhood, and it's like because of the parents kind of thing, and Prabhupada said, no, it's free will. And I was wondering, I guess I was thinking how, because that doesn't take into account what they say, it doesn't take into account that we have previous lives and we come in to this world with our desires and like that. But I wondered, you know, how responsible are we? I think I'm asking especially as parents, you know, how responsible are, what is our responsibility? Because, I think you can't just not do anything, but then at the same time, there are examples where there's some story of, I forget what sage it was, who his father just left, and then, because he saw like a lizard, you know what I'm talking about,
the
some
Bart,
story like that?
Siddhaswami.
Yes, I think Rishudar Swami. And then still he grew up to be such a wonderful, you know, Vaishnava.
He became the king.
Okay.
He became the king.
Yeah, so...
Unless we have that level of consciousness, we should not act artificially. Now to address to your this conversation or question is very relevant. Four things, I didn't finish it. Four things what makes who I am now. One is psychophysical nature that we carry from previous life. Second is nurturing, how I grow up. What kind of belief? Like I see this morning, one mother came, offered flower to Prabhupada, and her baby also offered the flower. She paid obeisances, the baby is paying obeisances. Whether baby understand or not, I don't know. But it's getting the impression, it's collecting. So parents has a big role on the second part, the nurturing. Then culturing also. What kind of friends, social circle of friends that each child grow up, not only parents. And then the fourth one is the free will. Good example, during Prabhupada's time, Harishnari Prabhu's book, he gives a wonderful reference in Australia. They actually picked up, what's his name? Anyway, he was one of the leaders in Australia. They would pick up a homeless person from the street, few. So one day got, and Harishwari Prabhu writes, that they shaved him off, you know, gave him nice food, like a five-star hotel type of life for a few weeks, and then he adapted. After 35 years, he went to Sydney Temple, and he saw that same devotee still washing dishes and is chanting and laughing. And he said, "You remember me? I was a homeless guy. I'm happy." And he got a spiritual name, and he's very happy. But same day, they also captured another homeless. After 2 weeks, he got frustrated. He said, "I don't want Hare Krishna. I want to go back." And he became homeless again. So I see why Prabhupada stressed that. Free will. I mean, between these two, both are homeless. One chose to adapt and he became joyful. The other one went back. Even though they gave facility, like five-star, you know, facility of nice food, no service, just, but went back to the same homeless. So free will has the biggest effect in our life. All four of us together makes a person who he or she is. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
Yes, Mother Bhagavati. I followed your instruction and I stopped it early somewhere. Thank you.
Prabhu, you were mentioning different degrees of renunciation. At the time of death, when Krishna says, "I carry what you lack and preserve what you have," how much does he carry what we lack?
That's what you lack.
You know what I mean?
This is very nice. Yes. These are one of the famous verse.
Right. What's so, the beginning of that or the end of that verse?
If you look at this way, I look at this way, that verse. If I don't develop a desire to serve the devotees and others, the false renunciation will appear. You cannot stop. I saw within me, when I did not have a desire to serve, which is eternally natural for us, but conditionally is not natural. Looks like we have to push. Yes. When the service attitude develops more and more, and we force ourselves to serve, this false renunciation will not come to us. Now, why Shushka Vairagya? There's five types of renunciation. Prabhupada gives the thumbs up only one. He says, in one lecture, renunciation is the result of genuine spiritual emotion. Renunciation is the result of genuine spiritual emotion. Means, what I understand, that I don't have to endeavor to be renounced. I have to endeavor to serve and chant and do five things. Five things in our sannyas ministry we always discuss. That be conscious, your relationship with Krishna, be conscious Krishna's relationship with everything and everyone, this is one. Second, become his devotee under a pure devotee, like Prabhupada or Ishkan gurus. Third, serve Krishna according to devotional scriptures. Like everything we do, it's from the scripture. Prabhupada did not make it up. Nobody should make up. These are all written. We follow. Fourth, learn six forms of saranagati, surrender, and act. And fifth, share this knowledge with others. Create a facility that others can come. If we do five things, guarantee, 1868, Jaidam paramam guyam madhbhaktesi avidashyati, bhaktim mayi param kritta mame vashya cha asamsha. You will get love of Godhead. Krishna is speaking. He is promising. You will get love of Godhead and I will take you back home, back to Godhead. Without doubt. Asamsha, without doubt. If we do these five things. Is that answer? Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Prabhus and mothers. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Vanchavi Bhutta Vrishti, Vahasini Vrishti, 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 Vrishti